Catch, touchdown.
Here's Jacobs cutting back, getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, even though it continues to be like vacation time for most folks in the NFL, the Chiefs keep making news. Today we learned that, or Friday we learned that Tyreek Hill would not be suspended by the NFL. The NFL, in a statement, said they didn't find enough evidence to suspend Tyreek under the personal conduct policy after a 4-month investigation. They left the door open to revisit it. But are you surprised by this development? I think a lot of people just assumed for embarrassing the league, he was going to be suspended a game or two.
Well, initially, whenever the clips, the edited clips of the audio came out, it didn't paint him in a good light, especially right during the time when the NFL draft was happening.
And even back before that, when he was just involved in the police investigation, because, I mean, they've suspended guys just for being involved in police investigations before, so.
So whenever that tape aspect happened, then that didn't paint it in a good light to where you weren't sure what was or wasn't going to happen at that point. Then I would say what, in my opinion, what turned the tide is whenever 610 Sports put out the full audio tape from a public perspective that allowed people to create their own context on it and to create their own opinion and viewpoint from it and interpret it how they give them a full opportunity to interpret it. So in that regard, I think that was where, from a public perspective, you could lessen and start reducing the suspensions at that point. And I think anything was on the table at that point. And then when they had their eight and a half hour interview with him, I think that was, I believe they were very thorough with that. I believe they put everything out there and answered everything to where, for the NFL to come to the conclusion that it did on Friday, tells me that they felt comfortable with the information that they had at that time. And something that I personally will say, for us on this podcast, I personally have never taken the allegations lightly, the situation lightly, because at the end of the day, this is a person's reputation on the line. It has real-world consequences for what people say, and that impacts his personal life and whether what did or didn't happen. So I always take that into account to understand that this isn't some reality TV show, that this is a person's real life and that they are getting impacted by what is and isn't said.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I feel like I've approached it the way that I have, because I understand that you're messing with a person's real life and what's going on.
And look, the NFL in announcing that he wouldn't be suspended let off by saying that the child's welfare was paramount, and they feel like, based on what they know about the investigation with the Department of Children and Families, that the child is safe and will receive proper ongoing care. And again, that should be at the top of everyone's list, is the safety and welfare of this soon-to-be 4-year-old. And look, the other two children that the couple had, I mean, you hope that they're safe and taken care of as well.
And something I will add to that is, like, when you think about it, and when I've talked before about different vantage points in life, we all have different frames of reference from where we come from and our upbringing. So Todd's definition of childhood, or whoever's listening to this podcast's definition of childhood, is different than what mine was. Mine is being on a farm. For somebody, it may be, you know, being
single parent family in Raytown.
Yeah. And that was your story, and that was what you dealt with. And for Frank Clark, you know, he dealt with times, as it's been documented, homelessness, and him and his mom having to fend for a lot of stuff just to try to eat and have shelter. So, I mean, along the way, each person has their own journey to get to where they are. And in regards towards those kids, when I've tried to put myself in the kids' shoes, especially when covering this, the thing that always kind of stuck with me, if I was his age and I'd gotten taken from my mom and dad or I had had something like that happen. And for me, that would have turned my world upside down, and my security blankets and what made me confident and secure in the world at that age had been taken from me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I've always thought about that and made sure that that's present in my mind whenever you're talking about this and how you're approaching that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's still an ugly situation. Okay. I mean, like I have kids, I have a wife. Some of the things, the way that they talk to each other, the way that some of the things that he said to Crystal Espinal on that tape, I would never say things like that to my wife. I mean, like, that's just not a normal way of communicating in a healthy relationship. So again, I don't think this should all be construed to say that this exonerates Tyreek Hill, but strictly from a football perspective, strictly from the Chiefs' perspective, this allows them to put it in the rear view and move on. And the Chiefs weighed in. The Chiefs actually tried to clarify with me today that Tyreek was never officially suspended by the team, that they had agreed that it was in the best interest of the team that he not be around. So effectively, he was suspended. But the Chiefs are even walking back the fact that they formally suspended him. You know, and then, of course, Tyreek released a statement on social media where he thanked the people around Kansas City who've supported him, thanked the NFL for taking the time to do a thorough investigation, thanked the Chiefs for having his back, and also, you know, had a message for his children at the end of it. So what's your takeaway? I mean, do you think this puts an end to the matter, or obviously, I mean, you know, Tyreek's still going to have to answer questions when he gets up to camp. This is still going to be an issue, but is this something that drags into the season? Is still a storyline when the Chiefs play at Jacksonville, or do you think that the timing of this allows, you know, the Chiefs to have put this in the rear view, assuming nothing new comes out between now and then by the time the season starts, so that's not a distraction?
I think it's a issue and situation that it's just going to linger, and there's always going to be some unknown to it. Like, is something going to happen down the road here? Is something new going to come out, or is there something that nobody knows about right now? And then when does DCF complete their investigation? Because I know I've heard that can take up to a year from some people.
Well, and because those cases are sealed, because minor children are involved, you know, they're... We may never know,
right?
You know what happened with that. So.
Right. So, but I'm saying, like, those are the little things that are just like the cranberry song, and they're going to linger. And it's just, you don't know. You're not going to have. I just don't think you're ever going to have full resolution with it. I think right now you have, okay, he's going to be at camp. He's going to be doing that. He's going to play as of now. But you're just always going to be wondering if something else is. Is there something else that's going to come out? And that, I think that's just going to be there for a while.
And then, of course, there's the other factor. I mean, we heard that, you know, Yahoo Sports and you know, Albert Breer with NFL, people like that have reported that the Chiefs are going to take some time, let the situation breathe. But at some point, they're going to presumably negotiate for a contract extension with Tyreek Hill. And I think that this storyline will pick back up when that starts, you know, whether it's a conversation about clauses that are going to be in the contract or would he have gotten more money had this all not happened during the offseason. I agree with you. I just, as much as I think people are going to hope that it can just be about football, I don't think it ever can be, really.
I think it's going to take quite a while for that for it to be laser focused on football.
Okay, so pivoting now to just the football conversation. This was a big item on the checklist for the Chiefs moving into training camp. And we've talked about what a unique talent Tyreek Hill is, not just because of his speed, but his ability to track the ball, his increasing ability as a route runner, the rapport that he has, and the trust that Patrick Mahomes has in Tyreek Hill, you know, some unique return skills, things like that. From an on-field perspective, do you think this solidifies the Chiefs as the team to beat now that Tyreek Hill will be on the team, presumably for all of 2019?
I think the Patriots are still the, until the Patriots get toppled, they're the team to beat because they're obviously the Super Bowl champion, and they've had a lot of success recently, and they still have Tom Brady. I think Rob Gronkowski, depending on what happens, if he magically comes out of retirement at some point and wants to come back since he was catching footballs from Brady
recently. Halloween, yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll see what happens.
Take half the year.
We'll see what happens with that regard. But Right now, the Patriots are kind of the team that you're focused on, and you still kind of just accept as the champion. The Chiefs are, in my opinion, the number one contender to topple them. And then I think the Chargers are in that conversation, and then you kind of go on down the list from there at that point, which we already did another podcast.
Yeah, so, you can check the archive.
Yeah. So, I think with Tyreek in the offense and having Mecole Hardman, who's essentially going to replace Chris Conley and a portion of what DeAnthony Thomas did
and
in the scheme.
And provide some relief in the return game for Tyreek and stuff like that, because he's got some unique skills there.
Yeah, ideally in that regard. And then Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, and if you keep all those guys healthy and the offensive line's able to protect and be able to decipher some of the unexpected blitzes that'll be coming here in the future, and if Mahomes can decipher the coverages that some of the teams are going to throw at him that he may have not seen yet, if they're able to do all that, then I mean they have just as much of a chance to have just as explosive as an offense as last year, if not more.
So what else is on your checklist? Because I found this interesting. Taylor Hemness, who is one of our morning show anchors, went down to Tyler, Texas, where he worked for 8.5 years. And we're going to have a lot of content.
Haven't asked him about the Whataburger yet down there, as I know he went there.
Yeah, that did not come up in our conversation. I was more interested in the Mahomes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, I've been to Whataburger.
You have been raving nonstop about how you need one here, and you didn't get to ask Taylor about his experience?
I'm not worried about Taylor's experience there. I want one here so that we can experience it on a near daily basis. But I did want to pick his brain a little bit about, what kind of stories he was coming up with, because he's actually friends with Patrick Mahomes' longtime trainer, the guy who has been training Mahomes since he was in fourth grade. And so there's some really, really cool stuff that we're going to be doing here in the next couple weeks as training camp rolls out, based off Taylor's familiarity with the area and with some folks down there. But one of the things that came out was there's a feeling in Patrick Mahomes' hometown. They're kind of like, so are people in Kansas City, are they worried that that last year was a mirage and that Patrick Mahomes won't be able to keep this up? And Taylor Hemness was like, yeah, no, that's not happening. But on your checklist, I've got to assume there are some mileposts in terms of continued development for Patrick Mahomes that you'd like to see in training camp. Can you share with what some of those might be?
The thing that I'm kind of curious about, and this is this we won't see probably till the regular season begins, but you'll be able to watch some of it in camp. And for me, that is this was in a lot of games, and what it was is him being able to be consistent and be calm and cool and collected. Because you remember we talked about throughout the year, Denver, Ravens, Patriots games, some of those games where he just it felt like it took him a quarter for him to kind of be able to
get
in a rhythm and be able to kind of be laser focused and be able to kind of get comfortable with everything he was seeing. And I'm curious if that year of experience and the tape study and everything that he's done and worked with the coaches, where are they at level wise with that now? How much has he improved? How much more comfortable is he in the offense and the scheme? And then also, this probably you won't see till the game, but till games start. But I got it marked down for me is that the RPO they did all the time, where they'd have the run fake and then there'd be a slant route right off of it. That was kind of one of their money makers, and that's how they scored with Tyreek Hill on one of their initial touchdowns in the Chargers game in that first game of the year. And the Chiefs used it throughout the year, and enough teams have seen that on tape. And that was kind of something, that was one of those plays. There was like five plays, if you kind of marked them down, that they would use on a consistent basis to help kind of get him in rhythm and settle him down. So for me, I'm curious whenever I go up there to watch what are they doing to, one, help him get in rhythm again this year to help build that comfort level and that foundation in each game. But then also, how do they evolve some of those? Because teams are going to try to take that RPO away whenever
sure.
And they're going to have somebody jumping on that slant route. So whenever they have that happen, what do the Chiefs have off that teams don't see coming yet? And then they're like, oh, okay.
But that I think is where I wish I could just, spend a little time with Andy Reid and just inside his mind during the offseason just to see, because he's the one who's going to evolve offense.
He was already thinking of that during them and on his little pat plays that Veach talked about with the note cards.
I mean, he was probably thinking about that by October, November last year. Okay, how can we grow off this? And that's what makes him such a unique coach and such a brilliant offensive mind. One of the best offensive minds the NFL has ever seen.
And I've got a stat for you that I looked up.
Oh, my God. goodness numbers from Nick Jacobs?
Yes. All right, so Andy Reid, listen to this. Okay.
I'm already tuned out.
Of the past 19 years that he's been a head coach in the league, 15 of those he's had nine wins or more. The only other coach I could find that was in that era, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong on this, obviously, but the only coach I could find in that era that had that much consistent winning and success and be able to constantly evolve to stay ahead of the curve was Bill Belichick, who had 18 of 19 seasons with nine wins or more.
Heard of him.
Belichick's got six Super Bowls. Andy's kind of looking for his. So, and here's the other thing I put on Twitter this week. Andy Reid, this is the second golden era of the Chiefs franchise. Marty Schottenheimer was the most successful in terms of regular season. Hank Stram is the most successful in terms of championship.
I was going to say, let's give Hank some love.
And Andy is kind of in between there right now. And if he gets a Super Bowl, then he jumps Marty, and he's right up there with Hank. And it's just those are kind of the three eras of the Chiefs franchise in the past 50 plus years that you had.
Don't coaches. Make you want to cry.
I mean, that's one way to put it.
I don't know. The Vermeil era was fun.
The Vermeil was fun, but if you think about it,
they went to the playoffs like what, once, twice,
once, yeah, one whole time in 2013 or 2003 because they missed it.
And they didn't, and they never forced a punt in a postseason game.
Never won a playoff game. They went to playoff one time in 5 years, had a fun offense to watch, and never won a playoff game. So, Vermeer was fun to watch, but they had a defense that was just as bad as Bob Sutton's last year, if not worse. And
shout out Greg Robinson, 32D.
Yeah. So, but anyways, so Marty had 8 years in a row where they won nine games. Stram had four. Andy's at six. Yeah. He's two away from being up there with Marty. And this is kind of the moment that can define Andy's career. If he's able to get that Super Bowl win, I truly believe he punches his ticket to the Hall of Fame. And I think he deserves absolutely. That. I think he's got an insane legacy with the coaching tree that he has and how many coaches have been successful when they left him. While on the other hand, Belichick's tree didn't exactly have that success.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Keep on rolling.
Okay. I mean, if you're, I'm going to put you in the role of Chiefs Equipment Director Alan Wright.
Don't do that. Alan is a rock star, man. Like, and what people got to see this week and the story, I enjoy that he gets that and his team gets that recognition. But here's the thing. They have to do stuff like that on almost every road game. Training camp is the most intense of the bunch, but man, they have to do that in some road games. And when they went to London that one year, I mean, those guys were rock stars.
Yeah. So what else is on your checklist? Bearing in mind that this is already a very long A block.
Yeah, no, it normally happens. I blame you for it. No, it's actually both of us. The second thing that I have is who's going to be the fire starter for this offense whenever they need it? And you may not find that out. You may find it at training camp. You may not. But I want to know when they could turn to Kareem Hunt when they needed to early on in the season to get him going in games and kind of help stabilize him. Who's going to be that guy this year?
I mean, how motivated do you think? Can Tyreek Hill be that guy? I mean, how motivated do you think he's going to be after this offseason to come out and just play football, get this behind him, get some positive headlines, and just get back? I mean, because look. There was a time, April 25th, when the recording came out and everything, a lot of people thought at that time, I mean, there were analysts, if you go back and check the record, that thought Tyreek Hill would be suspended for an entire year, maybe receive a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
And Tyreek has to be aware of that. Tyreek has to know that there were people who wanted to take football away from him and that there was a possibility that it could happen depending on how things went.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think he will be? We've seen the workout videos he's posted on Instagram and stuff like that. No. How motivated do you think he's going to be to come out and just set the league on fire?
Oh, no, there's no doubt in my mind that that's his number one goal when he comes out there. And his number one goal is to prove that and to have the contract year of contract years. And I know Therese's talked about that too.
And it'll be interesting also to hear from guys like Patrick Mahomes, guys like Travis Kelce, guys that are friends and have been in that locker room with them for a few years and have been probably a little bit loath to discuss the situation, but to hear what were they saying to Tyreek? What communication did they have? In what ways were they trying to support him through this? Because I think that'll be an important piece too. If those guys reached out, if those guys showed him support, if those guys showed him love, even when he couldn't be with the team, I think that will just help make Tyreek even more motivated to go to battle on Sundays with these guys.
And the way Tyreek's been training to run up those hills at a specific location I will not name, they're very difficult to run up. The way how fast he's run up those things, I couldn't even go up on a four wheeler that fast. And he's running them. So, and I can promise you, I couldn't run one of those hills.
I mean, if I went up it in a four wheeler, I would probably be winded.
I could walk it, but it's going to be 20 minutes at least. He ran that thing and woof. Oh my goodness. Yeah. He's going to be motivated.
All right. Checklist item number three.
Chris Jones. When will he arrive? And, I'm not questioning if he'll be in shape or not from the videos he's put on Instagram. You don't have to worry about that.
Are you questioning whether he will be able to pick up where he left off last year?
I think he's going to have some time having to learn the scheme, and I think that's going to take a little bit. And I'm kind of curious to see his transition into that scheme and how quick he's able to pick that up and how he works with Brendan Daly, the D-line coach.
But we've also talked about this system really plays to his strengths more than last year did. When as good as he was at times, sometimes that effort to get upfield and create penetration and get to the quarterback is part of what left the defense vulnerable up the middle, especially to the run game, to draws, to traps, to things like that, because he wasn't doing the responsibilities necessarily that he was supposed to. I get the feeling in this scheme, getting upfield and getting to the quarterback is going to be what they put a premium on. So you know, he may feel unleashed.
Yeah, this scheme is tailor-made for him. It's just a matter of him being with that coaching staff, gaining that trust. Because, I mean, that's just you just got to be there to be able to gain that trust. That's just the reality of it. So,
number four?
For me, I'm going to put on that one, how disciplined is the defense? The defense last year, the holding penalties, I mean, they...
The offsides penalties?
There was a significant one. For a defensive perspective, what are they able to do? What type of mentality do they play with? What type of focus do they play with? Are they aligned correctly on a regular basis? Do they have counters to the offense's counter, and how are they able to do in that regard overall? Yeah, discipline for me is going to be key because the amount of pass interference holding penalties
the outside ridiculous. Corners.
So, and that was a lot of Orlando Scandrick and Steven Nelson, so I'm not going to, you know, they're obviously not here. But if I just want to see if things are cleaned and tightened up, because if you do those, then you get a lot more three and outs and you get off the field quicker than some of the positions the defense put them in.
And everybody gets to see more Patrick Mahomes, which is ultimately what people want.
What they want, more possessions for Pat.
All right. How many more items you got on the checklist there?
I can do two. That's fine. I mean, I could go longer.
I have 27, but...
I'll do two big ones.
I'm guessing that you, do you have 15, one for Patrick Mahomes' number?
I'm not kidding you, man. I wrote down like 50 because I've already watched every game over again. So I wasn't going to plan to do 50, but they're internally what I got in my heart.
So this will be a three-hour podcast. Settle in, guys.
It's going to be a long day. You're going to be using this for your entire drive week. Next thing is for Patrick, I'm curious if he can keep the line moving, like the Royals phrase. And there was a lot of times he'd want to go for the home run at times, and it would work out, but there's other times where you need to convert and keep yourself on the field. And I'm kind of curious to see if he settles in more to take that. And I forgot that one earlier, so it's kind of part of one.
But. Yeah, and see, I feel like that's part of when we talk about the continued development. Does he mature into the game? I mean, that's one of the things that I think separates Tom Brady is his willingness to stay patient in the pocket and just take what's given to him, let his guys work. I mean, if Edelman's got a good matchup, he'll just burn that up. Does Patrick Mahomes start to bring that into his game? Because, you may not see as many of the big passes. He may not get to 5,000 yards. He may not get to 50 touchdowns again. But some of those things, he could be an even better quarterback this year if he can demonstrate some growth in some of those other areas.
All right, next one for me is...
Is this checklist item number six?
I lost count.
I think we're going with six.
Okay, so then with Kelce, I just want to know what kind of focus he has this year, because there was times where I think he got used to Alex's throwing style and where Alex would place the ball, and I think at times when Patrick would throw it in there with a little bit more velocity and place it in different spots, I think that took some adjustment for Kelce. And so I'm just kind of curious overall if they have a better comfort level this year to where Kelce can be a massive weapon over the middle there.
Yeah, he was already pretty good.
Oh, no, he was great. I'm just saying, like, if you have the speed of Mecole Hardman and Tyreek and Sammy Watkins, I mean, Kelce could have a great opportunity.
All right. Are you going to put all 50 items on online?
No, probably not. All I know is the final thing is defensive attitude. I want to see it. I want to see him be physical in preseason, hit hard, run hard after the quarterback. I just want to see attitude from the team.
I'm guessing that after your film study, some of these items will continue to drip out on your Twitter account at Jacob71.
They will.
Heading into training camp and going beyond. So be sure to look for Nick Jacobs and go ahead and follow the @4thandone podcast on Twitter as well.
It's a possibility. What about your Twitter there, Todd?
It's at Todd Palmer with 1D. I am not nearly the prolific tweeter that you are.
Okay.
Look, man, like I'm trying to like. Look, this summer's been crazy with trying to sell a house and some other things like
that. I'm telling you, you're going to use an excuse for 2 years.
I will. Prove that I bought a house. So anyway, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about training camp battles that we are most looking forward to seeing here on 4th and 1.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a beautiful day today in Kansas City. Clear skies, no chance for rainfall, and the heat is building.
If you're heading on out to the pool, it is just fantastic out there. The heat outside index, perfect 10.
We know Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
Well, it's not exactly any one thing, and we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
Behind these doors here at MCC.
Big flashes of lightning as well.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
So how many diapers are you giving out a month?
There is a difference in the morning. Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs, and we are less than a week from the start of training camp, but at least less than a week from rookies and quarterbacks reporting to training camp up in St. Joe, man. I know you're excited. I am too. I was going to say something wholly inappropriate, but I'm self-editing.
You're excited. You're excited. Move forward.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about position battles that we're most looking forward to. And for me, the biggest one is linebacker. And the reason is because I feel like Brett Veach has done a very good job adding depth at that position, just creating competition in that linebacker room. But that's the one position where I honestly don't feel like I have any idea who's going to start against Jacksonville and what roles they're going to fill in that group. That's to me the most unsettled position. You've got Anthony Hitchens, who was incredibly disappointing last year. Does he bounce back? Does he justify the money they put into, his 5-year, $45 million contract they gave him last offseason? Does Reggie Ragland still have a role with this team? And what about the guys that they either traded for or the veterans they brought in, whether it's Jeremiah Adewaju, Darren Lee, Damian Wilson? And then Ben Neiman, intriguing guy from last year in camp. Raymond Davison, another intriguing guy from last year in camp. Do those guys grow into roles? Does Dorian O'Daniel lock down a spot at the weak side, or is he still more of a, basically a dime safety / line? There's so many position battles, I think, that are going to go on there. And here's the other thing, though. Just seeing the way that they deploy these different guys, because I don't think that it may be a situation where the starter doesn't really matter, because you've got guys like a Dorian O'Daniel or a Darren Lee who are very good in coverage. So it may be a by committee approach. So I just want to see what they're going to do with the linebackers and with the guys that they have there. I think that's really intriguing. Cornerback's the other position. Can Bashaud Breeland be, if not necessarily a lockdown guy, but at least play at an elite level, because I think that everything with the changes, if he can play at an elite level, but they still need to like build more depth into the roster at that spot, in my opinion. I always think the defensive and offensive line and the rotations that you have set up there and who ends up, you know, does Cameron Irving start or is he your sub guy? What are they going to do with Andrew Wiley? How does Reeder look taking over as starting center? There's a lot of questions there on the offensive line. Wide receiver. You feel much better now that you have Tyreek and Sammy Watkins, but the depth, you know, who's going to be the third guy? Who else is going to step up and fill those roles? And then who's going to start next to Tyrann Mathieu at the safety spot? You know, is it going to be Jordan Lucas? How does Armani Watts look coming back from his injury last year? Or is Juan Thornhill, going to kind of take over that position and start to put his stamp on his NFL career? So, I don't know how you feel. That's how I would rank them. Those are the top six positions I'm looking at. So what are your thoughts and what are you most looking forward to?
For me personally, running back committee, I'm kind of curious to see if anybody emerges from that who can potentially replace the presence of Kareem Hunt. Is Carlos Hyde capable of doing that? Is Darwin Thompson going to be that guy in some regard? Maybe the little different running style, or is it Damian Williams? And for Williams, I'm kind of curious to see where his vision's at this year, running out of different formations. And then I'm also kind of curious to see his ability to break the first tackle more, because Kareem was really good at that, and that kind of helped create extra yardage and keep him on script a lot of the time. And I'm kind of curious to see if Damian can kind of help improve in that, because I think that was kind of the biggest difference between the two of them whenever they would face contact in the run. Second thing is going to be the number two tight end who steps up and is able to be that guy. I don't really know.
Belldozer.
I mean, you're hoping him or another guy do it. I don't know. So that's going to be my biggest question is who's the guy behind Kelsey?
Yeah, that's a big question too. Yeah.
Offensive line-wise at left guard, I'm just curious to see, is it going to be Cameron Irving or Austin Ryder? I will always choose Ryder. I will wear a T-shirt there that says Team Ryder. I'm kidding. I'm not going to. That's unprofessional. But I'm curious to see how that one ends up. Like you said, linebacker-wise, I'm very curious in terms of who's going to be the middle linebacker. I think that kind of sets in tone what they're going to do on the weak side as well. I think strong side, I think that one's already pretty settled in terms of what I saw at mini camp. And then finally for me, free safety. Is it going to be Juan Thornhill, Jordan Lucas, or is it? Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're going to have four or five safeties on the field and utilize them. So each guy's going to get a role. I'm just curious who's going to be the starting free safety that gives them that range. So those are my big ones. And then special teams, I'm always going to be looking for who are the gunners, who are the returners, because those guys help decide where the ball is obviously going to be placed at and how much the defense has to defend, and then also if the offense has to actually come out on the field or not.
I also want to see if Colin Saunders will do a backflip on the field at some point during training camp.
I hope he doesn't, we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We'll be discussing these position battles more and more as training camp rolls along. So that was just kind of a precursor of what we're looking at going into it. So don't think that that's as expansive as we're going to get. We've got
I think after like 70 episodes, I know we'll get more expensive.
We've got a couple more weeks to go through it and to get some eyes on stuff and actually learn and see and figure out how things are going to go. But hopefully that whets your appetite for a few things to look for at training camp. And hopefully it has whet your appetite for the C block, which is coming up after this break.
Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, you're pointing at me.
I meant to ask you something. Are we taking an RV up to training camp? Are we going to take like a little trip in an RV up to training camp, or are you just going to make me drive my truck up there for you and be your chauffeur?
Well, we can. Let's just take one of the news vans.
No, I'm not going to do that. Oh. My truck is much more spacious for us, for a man.
All right. Well, then I'll take a nap in the back, and you can drive me up to St. Joe.
It's spacious enough you can actually do that. Yeah. I knew I was going to get stuck driving.
Well, look, I'm more than happy to drive. I just don't know that my car is the most comfortable for you to ride for an hour in.
It certainly is not. And I technically wouldn't be riding an hour. I'd make you pick me up where it's 30 minutes away.
It's true. Fair point. Hey, you know what?
What?
Let's make Therese drive.
If he's in town, he's going to go to like 11 or 12 different camps, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. So are you jealous?
No. I mean, I hope he has a great time.
Have you thought more about, I mean, we could rent an RV to go down to Mexico City for the Chargers game.
You're going to keep pushing that for a long time.
I'm just saying, get your passport ready. That's all I'm saying.
You know what we should push for?
Don't wait till the last minute.
Another edition of Name That Chief.
Oh, hey, here we go. I've got a fairly obscure one.
Light that candle.
I don't know if you're going to get this one.
I probably won't, so light it.
All right, here we go. He only played 3 seasons with the Chiefs. So he was a first-round pick in 1991. This former Chiefs running back was blocked by Christian Okoye, Barry Word, and Marcus Allen during his 3 seasons with the Chiefs. He only lasted 3 seasons and never rushed for more than 447 yards. But during a 5-year career with the Raiders, he topped 1,300 total yards twice, including his only 1,000-yard rushing season in 1995, finishing with 1,114 yards and 9 touchdowns. He also, when he was one of the top high school recruits, reignited the rivalry between Texas A&M and LSU. Mm-hmm. I don't know what LSU may or may not have given him to convince him to go to LSU, but he was an LSU running back.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Oh, it's Harvey Williams.
Yeah. I mentioned him last week. So.
No, I already knew. As soon as you said who he was behind and everything, I was like, well, that eliminates Todd McNair.
Yeah.
Those were going to be your 2 options until Donnell Bennett showed up on the scene.
I remember. So back at Blue Ridge Mall, which doesn't exist anymore, and a lot of people probably won't even get that reference, but there was a sports card store, and I was so excited to get a Harvey Williams rookie card back then. Mm-hmm. I just remember... you know, as a kid going in there, and it was one of him in LSU like doing a Marcus Allen vault over the pile. I'm sure I still have it somewhere. That card's probably worth 10 cents now.
I can tell you about we can do autograph experiences down the road because I had like 15 of them.
I've got some good ones. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
My favorite one was at KCI Airport when they were showing up that day. When I was a little kid, they're going to go play the Vikings. But that's another time.
All right.
Todd, you ready to name your chief?
I feel like I'm going to fail at this one, but yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So this guy is a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Okay.
He's from Galveston, Texas.
Okay.
Career-wise, he only had 9 rushing touchdowns, but he had 9 receiving touchdowns. I like how stumped you look right now. What? He was a first-team All-Pro in the backfield. So I'm going to help you on that one. The offensive backfield. He played for the Chiefs from 91 to 2000. Do you need any more hints? I will give you one other hint.
Did his career end with an Achilles injury or his Chiefs career?
I believe it did, but don't quote me on that one. I can give you one final hint.
Is he now an athletic director in the Kansas City Public School District? Or was he at one time?
I know he is an athletic director, but I don't think it's here in Kansas City anymore.
Is it Kim Blanders?
It is. My last clue for you is going to be number 38.
Yeah, no, you know, it's funny. Yeah. I almost did Kim Blanders today, too. I would have scrambled
really, really quick.
Kimball is a great guy.
I would have pivoted.
But, yeah, no, as soon as you said it was an all-pro who didn't really score any touchdowns, I was like, oh, that's got to be fullback Kim Blanders. So... Yeah, mm-hmm. No. All right. Mm-hmm. I feel good. I feel better about my Chiefs knowledge today since I got it.
All right. You ready for a quick edition of Check the Tweets?
I am. Let's go. You got work to do, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I just.
So anyways, our first edition of Check the Tweets, and Todd, these answers, I encourage you to be brief on them.
Okay.
From Gizmo.
Yes, the answer is yes, Gizmo.
Who gets signed first, Hill or Jones, if you're the GM?
Man. Jones, I think, just so you can get him into camp, or at least hope to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one will be from Casey Dave, 85. Dave asks, how much does no suspension for Tyreek impact Hardman's playing time?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's not as much urgency to get him ready for game one to be able to contribute right away. So I think you can kind of allow him to digest the playbook in his own time. I also think he gets it's a huge benefit that he can now get to see from day one at training camp Tyreek work and some of the things that he does to get ready, because that's really important for me, Cole, because he's still fairly new to the position.
All right, our next question, Chiefs KC23, what does our offense look like now? Can we be just as good as last year or even better? Can Mahomes get more than 50 touchdowns?
I think he can. I don't think he will. You know, we've said it before. I think he could throw for 4,500 yards and 40 to 45 touchdowns and be a better quarterback, even though the stats, you know, don't bear that out. And I think part of that will be, look, there may be some complimentary football that exists there where, you know, if they're up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter as opposed to, you know, only up one score and have a defense that's objectively terrible, you know, that they feel like they've always got to mash the pedal to the floor, they may be able to kind of, there may be times where they want to take the air out a little bit, and that, you know, so they, it may be intentional that they're not always pedal to the metal this year, because if the defense is playing well, they won't have to be.
And our final question will be from Justin.
Sorry, that wasn't brief enough.
Yeah, I know. You went really long on that one. Thanks, man. Justin, what will be the final score when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs will win the Super Bowl 37-24 against the Saints.
Ooh. Well, Todd just ruined our preview at the end of August for that podcast, so thank you, Todd. No, I'm just kidding.
It may be changed by then, so who knows.
All right, well, that's all for this edition of Check the Tweets.
And that's all for this edition of 4th and 1. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and we hope you will subscribe. We hope you will rate us. Tell your friends, tell your family, you know, what a great guy Nick Jacobs is and how I'm tolerable.
Oh, and hey, don't forget, training camp arrives next week.
Yeah. So when
this week, depending on when you're listening.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's
football. Football's back, so
it's all happening.
And we took a whole off season to say words that form sentences about football and try to keep you entertained until real football came back.
That's right,
and it's back now.
And now it's here. Again, I'm not going to say anything inappropriate. I'm just going to say goodbye, folks. We will talk to you, and maybe we'll even do one from St. Joe later this summer.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, take care, guys.